Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Mr. Stephen Adelaide as my special expert guest. As an avid weight trainer and one-time national competitive bodybuilder, Stephen Adelaide has always had an intense interest in physique enhancement and muscular performance. With a burning desire to know more about human physiology, Stephen began following the latest scientific findings on performance enhancement aids and their impact on the physique. But he was confronted with a world of confusing theories and information that often conflicted. Using real-world applications as a foundation, Stephen looked for scientific evidence to support his theories. Now he dedicates his time to discovering and reporting the absolute truths about such topics as which exercise routines, nutrition plans, and supplements work, and which ones don't. Under the direction of Stephen as editor-in-chief, his Tell It Like It Is publication, Real Solutions Magazine, has quickly become the fastest-growing, most talked-about physique development magazine in the world, distributed in 12 countries with a loyal and growing readership of over 150,000 weight trainers. Stephen has since co-authored one of the most talked-about, number one downloaded ebooks on the internet, a consumer's guide to supplements titled 7 Never Before Told Secrets Everyone Should Know Before Buying Supplements. More recently, Stephen authored and widely distributed over 112,000 copies of Maximum Growth Volume 2, an 8-week proven step-by-step system that spells exactly how to eat, train, and take supplements for increasing muscle size, strength, and power. Stephen Adelaide incorporates the many inside connections and lessons learned over the past 15 years in his own pursuit of building a lean, muscular physique. His philosophies combine the latest scientific research, real-world experiences, and a good dose of common sense, something Stephen believes is greatly overlooked in today's world of overhyped and underperforming holy grail tactics for building a respectable physique. Good morning, Stephen, and welcome to SNU.
Hey, Corey, thanks for having me.
That's an awesome bio that you've got there, a man of great experience. Our subscribers are always interested in knowing who we're talking to and maybe how they got into the health and fitness world. So maybe you could give us a bit of a rundown on what led you into the industry as a professional that you're working in right now.
Well, originally it started back in the early 90s as a competitive bodybuilder. I was a teenage bodybuilder, won several state titles, and then moved into the adult bodybuilding arena and continually searching for ways to increase my muscle size, my strength, and also the overall appearance of my physique. Over the years, I learned that you could train harder, but not always achieve better results. It was only then that I realized the difference that nutrition, namely a sound, intelligent diet, and scientifically proven supplements could play an integral role in helping me improve my physique and my physical performance. It was then later that I worked for what has now become known as the supplement giant EAS, Experimental and Applied Sciences, and it was there that I led their expansion outside of the U.S., developing distribution centers and distributors in over 42 countries. And I got the opportunity to work with some of the world's leading scientists and doctors and formulators and listen to lectures from trainers, and these people were all around the world, so it wasn't just individuals from the United States. And from there, I learned a great deal above and beyond just what role supplements can play in improving someone's muscular performance, improving their physique, and overall improving their health. And it was then that I decided to take that newfound knowledge and also my experience in those areas and start my own company and produce my own periodical, which shares a lot of those insights.
So you developed Real Solutions Magazine, and I've seen it. It's a great take on this so-called inside information that you speak to. Now, tell us about the magazine and why you think it's grown so rapidly in such a short period of time.
Well, you know, it's grown rapidly, and I'll give you the answer just based on exactly what readers have told me of the magazine, and that's that they've found that the magazine is unlike anything else that's out there currently, and that is that we don't beat around the bush. We tell the truth in terms of what works and what doesn't. We don't run a magazine that has 50% advertising and 50% editorial. You know, I have a belief that I don't need the ads to get in the way of what you're reading. I don't take advertisements from products that I don't believe in or don't trust, and that way that translates to the consumer as well. And one of the things that I think people have come to notice with many of the magazines that are on the market in pertaining to sports nutrition and muscular performances is that a lot of them contain what I'll call smut fitness magazines. They're, you know, pinups or half-nude women or lingerie or bikini. And you know what? I just wiped that slate clean and said, you know what? None of that's going to be in my magazine. That's not what this is about. This is about providing information in a straightforward, accurate, up-to-date way to a very mature audience who wants to learn and listen to what we have to say. And that's why people have rapidly come to seek our magazine rather than us having to aggressively pursue people.
So just like Frank Sinatra, you're doing it your way.
You know what? It's not always the easiest path, but it's the most enjoyable and it's the most rewarding.
That's great. It's nice to hear someone who's committed to their own ideals and who's demonstrating the kind of ethics that this industry is based on originally, but in some cases has been corrupted. Now, how does a person committed to training deal with this world of confusing and conflicting theories that you say you've experienced yourself? How do we deal with all this stuff coming at us?
You know, it's a great question, Corey, because I think everyone experiences this dilemma or conundrum is when they enter into the arena of wanting to improve their physique or wanting to improve their health or their performance in sports is they're not sure where to turn. So inevitably, by asking questions, they end up getting answers. The problem is they get answers from all different sources, all different types of people, all different levels of education, and all of a sudden, everything starts to sound like it's conflicting. And I have found that I've been in that place before, and I'm sure many of your listeners have been in that place before, or you're in a certain level of that as far as where you're at in terms of your level of knowledge, personal knowledge. You know, and the one thing that I continually tell people is the best thing that you can do in that circumstance is try to find a single or maybe one or two or three at most sources that you believe you can trust, you know, and stick with it. That means doing a little homework on who you're listening to. You know, I mean, you certainly don't want to take financial advice from a guy who doesn't look like he's financially well off because evidently it's not working. And the same thing I say for sometimes personal trainers giving advice, yet they're sitting on the side drinking coffee and eating a bagel in the morning and they don't look like they're in shape. Well, why should you take advice from that person? Theory and application can be two different things sometimes. And so if you can find a source that you can stick with, do a little homework on them, trust what they have to say. Your gut instinct is going to tell you whether this person is just trying to fill you full of, you know, some misinformation or just his or her own theories versus something that's validated by science that sounds like it's applicable, and that's very important for people. It's got to be useful to you because you're going to want to follow that advice, and you have to be able to follow that advice. But I would say that if you can find a source of information that you feel you can trust, just stick with it.
Now, Stephen, tell us where you live and what the environment there is like in terms of moving into sports nutrition or how people in your state are looking at making changes in their life to improve their health and fitness.
You know, interestingly enough, I believe it's Men's Fitness does a fittest and fattest cities report every year, and continually Colorado, one of the cities here, I believe it's Colorado Springs, actually comes up on the top of the list every year for fittest cities. And I'm not quite sure how they measure that, but inevitably, I think a lot of people move to Colorado because it's a very active state. And that by that I mean you can be doing activities, namely outside activities, all year round here. So if you're a snowboarder or a skier, we've got the mountain slopes an hour away. If you're a mountain bike rider, well, we've got plenty of mountains here to ride bikes on, trails to hike on. In the summer, you know, a lot of people running, again, riding bikes. You know, we have over 300 sunny days a year, so people just love being outside here. And I think that makes the environment very conducive, much like it is in Florida or California, to wanting to be in shape because you're outside. So you want to be physically fit, and you want to be in shape enough to actually perform at a, you know, whatever your optimal level is in your desired recreational sport or whatever it is that you want to do. And so I think it's very inviting for people to want to get to the gym, want to learn more about how to train properly, or want to learn how to use supplements to enhance their performance or optimize their health, and also how to get their diet in place so that they can also live a little healthier and take part in more of the activities here in Colorado.
Now, I know you're a really busy guy, so how does someone like yourself stay in shape? Let's talk about your own personal training schedule.
I believe, first of all, and I ask people this many, many times who have asked me, well, I just can't seem to find time to train or, you know, really do what's required to take care of myself. And what I usually do is turn that around on them and ask, first and foremost, what are the most important things to you? What do you value most in your life? You know, because if your level of fitness or the shape of your physique or your health is not in one of the top three that you list, then you're never going to find time to do it. And once someone realizes that, hey, you know what, it is very important for me to stay in shape or to live a little healthier, then they're going to find time to do that. As for myself, my schedule doesn't allow for much in terms of what you might call free time. So it revolves basically around three things: my work, my family, and my training and taking care of myself. If I'm not taking care of myself, I'm not taking care of my work, and I'm not taking care of my family. So that is usually my priority in the way that I look at things in the day. And that way, I get up first thing in the morning, 5:15, I'm at the gym, I'm training, I'm doing my cardio, and then I'm to the office, and I'm basically at my desk by 7:30, and I'm ready to go. You know, I've done my training, I've done my cardio, my weight training and my cardio, and the blood's flowing, I've got the endorphins going, everything feels good, and I've got my energy levels up. I don't need to slam down 4 cups of coffee to get going. And I've also made it a priority by doing it first, and I also don't have to worry about it the rest of the day, how to work my day around it. Or if I get done with work or I need to work late, boy, I'm not going to be able to make it to the gym. Or if I've got to get home and spend time with the family, I don't have to worry about trying to stop off at the gym on the way home. Now, that's just how I view it, but considering my schedule, that's how it fits into my daily life.
That sounds excellent. A great role model to look up to. And like myself, the training is almost like the center of the universe. And once we get that out of the way, it just seems like everything else just rolls into place.
I tell you, Corey, I mean, have you ever noticed yourself that when you, perhaps you have an injury or something happens and you can't train or you haven't trained for a couple of days, have you noticed how much the rest of your life starts to slowly spiral out of control?
Absolutely. No doubt. No question about it.
And I think that's what happens to many, many people who, get started and then stop again, and all of a sudden the rest of their life tends to spiral out of control. But the one thing you can control in life is how you take care of yourself. It's the one thing you can control. And if you can take care of yourself, it'll transcend into all other parts of your life, guaranteed.
That's really solid, Stephen. That's excellent. Now let's talk about your ebook, 7 Never Before Told Secrets Everyone Should Know Before Buying Supplements. Can you share a secret or two with our listeners?
Sure. I'll give you a little shameless plug here that's on our Real Solutions Mag website. You actually get this for free now when you subscribe to our newsletter. But I'll give you that there's one secret that people tend to comment the most on, which seems to provide the most eye-opening experience for people. And I'm really not trying to turn the tables on manufacturers here. Rather, I've just been around long enough to know some of the little dirty little secrets, if you will, that happen inside our industry, usually in the name of profits. But one of those that we get comments on quite a bit tends to deal with nutrition bars. The way the secret goes is I have you grab the last nutrition bar you've ate, and I just tell you to grab the wrapper or grab one that's still full and turn it over and just start reading the ingredients. And look for an ingredient in there that says gelatin or hydrolyzed gelatin. And you'll likely find that it's hidden either somewhere inside the ingredient listing or it's in their quote-unquote proprietary protein blend. And what I like to explain to people in the secret is that you should always try to know that you're getting what you thought you were paying for. And when it comes to gelatin, as you know, Corey, gelatin is basically an incomplete source of protein which comes from cows and pigs' hoofs. So it's ground up, basically the same thing you find in J-E-L-L-O, and it's an incomplete source of protein. Now, manufacturers use that, yes, to moisten the bar, but they also use it to pump up the protein content. So you might be buying a bar that says 30 grams of protein on it, but maybe it's got 10 grams of gelatin in there. So you're not really getting 30 grams of protein. You're really getting 20 grams of useful or possibly complete protein. And in my opinion, that's just one of those untold secrets that I think consumers should know. And normally when they learn that, they start to steer away from those bars that are heavy on the gelatin because they want to get what they're paying for.
So education and knowledge is an enemy to these kinds of manufacturers. They don't want the consumer to know that, and they, I guess, want the consumer to be led to believe that gelatin is a good thing.
Yeah, and actually I think they kind of hide it in there and don't really say much about it. They just use it to count as a source of protein. And if you tested the bar, it's going to show up as a source of protein, so it's actually going to count towards the gram count of protein. But in reality, the consumer is probably not getting what they're paying for there.
Now, what's your take on glycerol, Stephen? Net carb effect and all the rest of it as it relates to kind of hiding the composition of the bars in that way. What is your feeling towards glycerol being used in sports bars?
You know, I have a similar feeling that I do with the gelatin, and that is that glycerol, it's useful to a point. It can help moisten the bar. It can help basically diminish some of the sugar levels. However, I think it has, in my opinion, a horrible aftertaste. And secondly, every person is different. Your gut tolerance to sugar alcohols and things like glycerol is only as good as the amount that's in that bar. You probably consume more than one bar with a high amount of sugar alcohol or glycerol in there, and you're not going to have much gut tolerance to that. It's probably going to pass right through you. And I think that's one of the main reasons, besides lack of taste, that the low carb or no carb, basically, or low net impact carb industry fell so rapidly. One was because you can't replace good carbs with sugar alcohol, which have no taste equivalent. And secondly, people can only tolerate so much. And when things are passing right through your system, you're probably not going to eat those things again or consume those types of products again. So it's not necessarily cheating the customer, but I think customers and consumers should be aware of the fact that at the end of the day, you know, do you really want to be putting those sugar alcohols into your system, or do you just want to turn to good, wholesome, low glycemic, or whole grain carbohydrates?
So what does one look for? I'm in a health food store. There's like 20 different bars to choose from. What are some of the rules that you would recommend when determining what bar I should buy and eat?
You know, and it may depend on your goals. You know, if you're getting ready to do a long mountain bike or a long trek, you might grab a bar that's rich in whole grain carbohydrates, such as a Clif bar or something of that nature. I'm not really a carbohydrate bar person myself. I treat bars in my decision of how to purchase them based on the same decision I make when I eat a whole food meal. It centers around the protein. I make sure that I have an adequate amount of protein. For me, it's anywhere from 20 to 35 grams of protein. And then I revolve the meal around there. So my basis of thought is, at what expense do I want to achieve that level of protein? So how many carbs do I want in relation to that protein, and how much fat am I willing to take in comparison to that level of protein that I'm going to take? So normally I try to look for things that contain whey protein, milk protein isolates. In terms of the protein source in a bar, carbohydrates, I try to look for some sort of whole grain carbohydrates such as oats or some type of grain. And then as far as the fat content, as long as it's not saturated fat, I'm not as concerned about the fat content. And that's usually how I make the basis of a decision of a bar. But I have to be honest with you, Corey, I try to use bars as a last resort in my nutrition. If I'm on a plane, if I'm traveling, if I'm hiking in the mountains or snowboarding, I'll have bars with me because there's really no place else to eat, or I don't want the substitute, which could possibly be the mystery meat you get on the plane. I will have a bar. But other than that, I try to stick to meal replacement shakes, protein powders, and whole food meals.
Bingo, you said it, the plane. That's exactly how I use them. I remember we couldn't land once, and the plane was late, and people were suffering with hypoglycemia. Some of them were kind of going crazy, and I had a bag of about 6 sport bars, and I was auctioning them off in the plane. So, yeah, they are really a lifesaver, but I find most of them are too acidic, and I've experimented with many of the bars. I'd like to develop a really, really high-quality bar, but as you know, to do that, the bar is going to probably end up costing about $8 to $12. And the technology just hasn't, you know, been able to meet the expectations that I have, and I'm sure yourself, for a super high-quality bar where you get the quality protein, the low-glycemic branched-chain carbs, and then those fatty acids that include omega-3s. But hopefully one day we'll be able to move in that direction and be able to give our kids something they can take to school that's really, you know, edible and tastes good and wholesome for their body.
I couldn't agree with you more on that one. I do know, and I'm right there with you waiting for that technology, and we've actually tried developing some bars in that realm, and it's just not there yet, the technology. It will be there, but it's only a matter of time, and consumers will be able to have a high-quality bar. And another thing on bars as well, as I've found, is that a lot of people will be trying to transform their physique or change the way they look, and they'll come to me and say, you know, I think I got my diet in place, I know I'm training really hard, I'm taking my supplements, but, you know, it's just not happening. And the first thing I always do is review their nutritional habits. It's usually the foremost where the problems are, or where they arise. And what I'll typically find is the person has been relying too heavily on bars. It becomes the predominant basis of their nutritional program. And with the amount of sugars and excess carbohydrates and possibly fat they're taking in as a result of those bars, even though they think they're convenient and nutritious and good for them, it's actually what's restraining them from achieving their goals. So once you can switch those out and say, hey, look, it's okay to have a bar every now and then, it is convenient, but let's not rely on them more than once a day, you usually find that they start making changes in their physique pretty rapidly after that.
Good point and good advice, Stephen. Now, what about Maximum Growth Volume 2? What is unique about this program? Maybe you can tell us about the program, and what kind of success have you seen or heard from people following the system?
You know, we have had more success with this program. It was originally based on a program that I put together, which was a 4-week program just called Maximum Growth, and it was to enhance muscle size, strength, and power. And it originated into this Volume 2, which I took into an 8-week program, which is a little more advanced, but it's based on a theory which has been validated by some good science. In fact, I just listened to a presentation by Mike Stone this weekend, and he actually spoke on this, and it's called the theory of supercompensation. And the way supercompensation works as far as the weight training program is that you basically go through a teardown phase, which is where you weight train, and then you go through a fatigue phase, where basically that's right after you train. You're not going to go back in the gym and be able to train again, at least not at the same repetition range or weight. And then you go through a recovery phase. And then there's a point at which it passes the baseline of where you were before you trained, and it actually has a small blip over that baseline. And it's a small, short period of time, which is called supercompensation. And that at that point in time, you can actually take advantage of that muscle group by training it again at that very point in time, but it goes away after about another day. And the reason that this is so important and the reason that this discovery was important was because what it says is most people train in a very methodical manner. So, for instance, they might do chest on one day, then back and shoulders, then arms, then legs, all in successive order in days. Then they take a day off in between or at the end of that, and then they start back over. Chest, back, shoulders, arms, legs, whatever that order may be, it's the same order every week. What supercompensation says is that you are actually doing a disservice to the smaller muscle groups, which are going to fatigue, recover faster, and enter into the supercompensation phase sooner than when your legs do, which are a larger muscle group and require more time to recover and have a longer period of supercompensation, but it's further out. So I'll give you an example of the way the program works. Is you might train your chest and your arms on day one, and then you might train your arms again on day three. Now, your workout's going to be different for your arms. It's going to be more repetitions and lighter weight. Nevertheless, you're taking advantage of the supercompensation period. So when you train in a methodical order and you train your legs, say, every 7 days or your arms every 7 days, you're actually doing a disservice to your arms by not training them during their supercompensation period versus your legs, which you're probably hitting them at about the right time around every 7 days. But nevertheless, you're missing all the other body parts which you could be taking advantage of. So I put this into an 8-week program. I have spelled out from a master 8-week calendar exactly which body parts you're going to be training on which days, and then each workout number correlates to a page which is a journal which shows you exactly what to do that day in your workout. It shows you exactly which body parts to use, which exercises to use to train those body parts with alternate exercises listed. It tells you your set range and your rep range, and you just simply write in your actual weights that you use or your planned weights that you plan to use. And then it tells you your resting period. And as well in the book, I have also included basic laws in terms of gaining muscular body weight and strength, which pertain to your eating and your sleep habits and your supplement habits and so forth. And it's basically all spelled out into one guide that takes you through an 8-week course of gaining strength, muscle size, and power. Some of the results we've had, I'll give you just one example. We've had many, many, many. I mean, we have people sending us unsolicited testimonials and pictures every day. One of the more recent ones was an individual by the name of Sean Larsgaard, and I know this probably sounds completely obscure, but in this instance, he was a true hard gainer, someone who has always had a very difficult time not only gaining muscular body weight, but maintaining muscular body weight. And he gained 25 pounds over 8 weeks. We just put his pictures up on our website, on the MuscleSystem.com website under the testimonials, and he made an incredible transformation. We get a lot of testimonials from people gaining anywhere from 25 to 40 pounds on their maximum bench press over 8 weeks. So it definitely has an emphasis on gaining muscular body weight and strength and power. And it's just very easy to apply. You just basically start following the instructions from day one, and 8 weeks later, you should be looking like a completely different person.
Now, is this something that consumers need to buy, or they just download off your site?
Actually, there's two things you can do. You can go to themusclesystem.com, which is all one word, themusclesystem.com, and you can download the 4-week program for free. That is a little bit different than the 8-week, but it's kind of a primer, if you will. It kind of primes the pump for the 8-week. Or you can jump right into the 8-week program, which is the same website, themusclesystem.com, but it's /free book, all one word, free book. The book is free. What we do require is $5 to pay for postage and handling. If you have any persons outside the U.S., they can simply go to Amazon.com and they can pick it up from there. So it's something that we've provided as part of an integrated solution to some of our products, but also as an educational piece of information that guides people in achieving their goals in a very practical and useful manner.
That sounds excellent, and I know of several people that I'm going to let know about that program. Now, we've got time for one more question, Stephen, and you rode the roller coaster with EAS, you know, the days gone by when creatine came out, HMB, whey protein isolate. What a significant effect these substances had on the credibility of the industry. Right now, what do you see that is reliable in terms of maybe a new supplement or maybe a change in some of the older supplements that maybe you're taking or recommend taking for strength and size gains?
Sure. I think that's a great question because two things are actually happening all the time, as you know, Corey. They're either, scientists are either taking old nutrients and supplements and finding better ways of either delivering them or enhancing them inside the body. And usually that's like taking something, you know, on a 10-story building and taking it from level 8 to level 9 or level 10, which is a great enhancement. It's something we've done with creatine and Metacell using D-pentitol, which you don't have to spike your insulin with sugars. We've shown scientifically that you can use D-pentitol to increase the rate of absorption and retention of creatine in the muscle. But I think in terms of going forward, I'll give you a little inside preview of something that we've been working on for quite some time now, and it's been in collaboration with Dr. Talon and Roger Harris over in the UK, and it's a substance called carnosine. I'm sure you're familiar with that. What they're finding is that there are levels of carnosine in the muscle similar to levels of creatine, even though these substances are completely different. And also, when you weight train, basically your muscle produces a level of acid. Basically, if you can suppress that level of acid and balance out your pH levels in the muscle, you can actually extend the time that you are training that muscle. And that has to do with carnosine, which is basically from histidine and beta-alanine. And that's something we've been working on for quite some time, and I think it's going to be very new and revolutionary in terms of building muscle and also muscular performance. Dr. Talon is actually coming over to make a presentation at NutriCon, which is next week, on carnosine and some of the effects it has on muscle. So that's kind of an inside sneak peek at where we're headed with a new compound, which basically is looking at carnosine and also hydrogen blocking is the other part of the equation of what that does.
That's outstanding, and very timely too, because the latest issue of Life Extension magazine has a good article on carnosine, and I've been following the literature, and certainly I think that carnosine is finally coming into its own, and it's been around for a while, but with maybe newer applications in the sport nutrition and training field. That's wonderful. Well, our time is gone. And what an excellent interview, Stephen. You got a head full of knowledge, a lot of experience, and you're doing a wonderful service where you are in Colorado, getting your message out to the world. If our subscribers want to contact you or get to your website, or maybe you've got a toll-free number, what might that be?
Let me give you our website. We can be found at, and I'm right there on the homepage, and you can click Contact Us, and I actually answer my emails, unlike many CEOs and editors of magazines and companies. It is realsolutionsmag.com. That's all one word, Real Solutions, realsolutionsmag.com. And if you want to talk to one of our qualified fitness and nutrition experts, they can be reached at 1-866-688-7679, and we'd be happy to send them out one of our free plans, including maximum growth, if they so wish.
That's excellent. So everyone out there, please consider this magazine. Is this something that the health food stores and gyms are distributing?
We have them on a limited basis out at the health food stores and the gyms. If you go to the website at realsolutionsmag.com, you can actually click on a link on the right that says free issue, and you can take a free trial issue, no obligation, no shipping and handling. And you can also there subscribe to our online newsletter, which will give you free access to the 7 never-before-told secrets about supplements.
That's great. Well, thanks again, Stephen, for participating as our special expert guest on this month's edition of SNU. And we always ask our special guests for a final word to edify us. Have you got anything for us today?
You know what? I do. And I will ask you the same question that I was asked several years ago, which I thought was very intriguing. And it may not have much to do with health and fitness, but I think you'll find it very interesting. And that was, I was asked a question which basically said that if I received a call today and found out that I was going to die in 6 months, what three things would I start doing more of? And I was to list those three things. The next thing I was asked was, well, why aren't you doing those things now? And I'll leave you with that.
Mr. Stephen Adelaide, Editor-in-Chief of Real Solutions Magazine. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Corey.
This concludes this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. We hope you have enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview. SNU is produced monthly and is a division of Holly Health Services, located in Burnaby, British Columbia. For details regarding subscription, please visit CoreyHolly.com. This is Doug Austin, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHolly.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.